I love the North Side. That's where we live. It's where I raise my kids. It's where we go shopping. It's the people that I meet. Those people need to hear about Christ. They need to not only hear about him, but they need to see it demonstrated before them. But God loves them. You can't do that from a distance. You need to do that up close and personal with people.
One thing I learned when coming to Urban Impact is that God is going to use me and he's going to use my gifts to help others.
This is like a big family. Like everybody's a brother or a sister to me. We're also close. We're linked arms. We stand together and we go to war together.
We reach thousands of people every year. 500 of them came to know Christ just this past year. We serve 36,000 meals to kids. We have 100% of our kids graduated from high school. We got 97% of our kids going to college, trade schools, jobs, military, ministry. We have now decades of people where we're getting the grandkids. We've got momentum. We're taking back the Northside. You know why that is? Because 32 years, the gospel of Jesus Christ has been preached in the Northside of Pittsburgh.
What Pastor Ed is talking about, that boots on ground in our communities, pouring of ourselves into our young people. That's what we gotta have. Whether our young people want it or not.
We build relationships and God changes people's lives.
Somebody was asking me the other day, how do you think Urban Impact has changed from when you were a kid to today? Nothing's really changed as far as like creating loving atmospheres, putting Jesus first, making sure kids are safe. Everything is still the same from when I was younger, but now there's just a lot more access to resources that they have now.
Through Urban Impact, that's where I really gained my desire for ministry, and you know, ultimately I feel like that's the job that I want to continue for the rest of my life.
We're not running programs, the government runs programs. We're about Jesus Christ and the gospel, and that's about making disciples of Jesus Christ. And I'm inviting you to come to Urban Impact, and let's go out and let's organize and plan in such a way that we can win those 10,000 kids in this neighborhood.
Well, it's wonderful. No, it is fantastic being back here at ACAC. Didn't the choir and the jazz band do a spectacular job leading us in worship? Man, they're just getting gooder and gooder. They're amazing. You know, all those kids that were down here, they were all high school students, and they were just featured at Heinz Hall. Can you imagine that? They were there playing. It was amazing. You know, the video you just saw, the 25 years, it was made 4 years ago, so now we're celebrating 29 years in ministry, and that means, yes, praise the Lord for that. What that means is that we've been locking arms together right here at ACAC and Urban Impact for now almost three decades together, and that got me thinking about how long Tammy and I, my wife Tammy and I, have been locking arms with all of you. It's 38 years. That's almost four decades, and I'm getting older, okay? But so are you, okay? So we've all been doing this together for almost four decades. You know what that means? That means thousands of people's lives have been impacted because of our partnership in the gospel. And I'm really thankful to just be part of it. But you know, today is the day that we always celebrate Urban Impact's partnership with ACAC. And I would love to come out to each and every one of you, shake your hand, hug you, thank you for your support and your prayers, but we can't do that or we'd be here all day. So what I'm going to ask you to do, please, if you can, if you're willing, on behalf of me and Urban Impact, I would love for a moment for you just to stand. Could you please just stand, if you're willing and able? Not going to do anything weird, but I'm just going to ask that you would look to the person on your left and on your right, and you could shake their hand or hug them. But what I want you to say to them and to each other is thank you for making an Urban Impact. Can you do that for me? Do that right now. Very good. Okay, you can be seated now. Thank you for doing that. Well, I have the privilege and honor to open up the Word of God to you all today, and our passages are going to be found in Matthew chapter 28, verses 19 through 20. Then we're going to look at two other passages. The second passage is Acts chapter 1, verse 8, and then finally, John chapter 1, verse 14. You have your Bibles, you can turn there. Matthew 28, 19 through 20. There was a movie that was made in the 1980s, and matter of fact, I actually believe it was 1980. And the movie was called The Blues Brothers. Blues Brothers. Yeah, many of you, it's amazing how many people have seen that movie. And it was starring Dan Aykroyd and John Belushi, and they were all about saving a Catholic school that they went to. It's going bankrupt. So they decided to put their rock band back together, do a concert, raise money to save the school. And in that movie, they make a famous statement, and that statement is, we're on a mission from God. We're on a mission from God. Well, that's the title of today's sermon. We're on a mission from God. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you and praise you for who you are. And I would just ask right now that you'd forgive me and cleanse me of any sin, and you'd fill me with your spirit, and you'd speak through me to your people. And we as your people wouldn't just be hearers of your word, but we would be doers of it. And you wouldn't just stir us, but that you would change us. For Lord, we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Where we're on a mission from God, every believer, anybody who has the Spirit of God dwelling within them, a child of the living God, we're all on a mission together. And the theologians call this mission the Great Commission. But for us to really understand the Great Commission, we need to understand the mission of Jesus Christ. This is what Jesus said about himself in Luke chapter 19:10. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. The Father gave him that mission. Did he complete that mission? Absolutely. He died on the cross for our sin, and then he walked out of the grave. Because he walked out of the grave, he's overcome sin and death. He has all power and authority now to forgive you of your sin and to give to you eternal life. And the Bible makes it very, very clear that anybody who's willing to call upon the name of Jesus Christ, they will be saved. So Jesus fulfilled the plan of salvation. Praise God for that. But after his death and resurrection, he came up to his disciples in John chapter 20, verse 21, and he said this, "As the Father has sent me, now I send you." Another way of saying that is the Father's given me the mission, I'm giving you the mission. After he tells him this, he tells him the mission over in Matthew chapter 28, verse 19. "Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." In this passage, there is one commandment. It's found in two words, and those words are, make disciples. Can you say that with me? Make disciples. Notice it doesn't say, just be a disciple. It says, make disciples. That we are to make disciples. The idea is to multiply ourselves. That's what Jesus did, and that's what he's calling us to do. Now, the question is, how do you make a disciple? Well, I could preach a six-week series on just those two words, but let me just say this simply. It's simply taking what you've learned and imparting it to somebody else. Taking what you've learned and teaching somebody else. Sharing with someone else. Multiplying what you know in someone else. In other words, if you take what you're learning today and you share it with someone, you're multiplying yourself. You're making a disciple. However, if you hear what I'm saying and you keep it to yourself, you're being discipled, but you're not on mission. The only way that you can make a disciple is if you take what you've learned and impart it to somebody else. When you do that, you're on mission. You're on mission. You're multiplying yourself. Remember, this isn't an option or even a suggestion that Jesus is making. It's a commandment. And it's for every believer. It's not just for the pastors or evangelists or missionaries or the elders or the deacons. It's for all of us. Every follower of Jesus Christ has been called to make what? Disciples. To multiply ourselves. Then after Jesus makes it very clear what the mission is, to make disciples, he tells us where to go to do this, where to fulfill this mission. It's found in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, and it says this, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." And remember, when Jesus makes this statement, very soon after he makes the statement, he ascends to the right hand of the Father. In other words, he leaves the earth and goes to heaven. So these are some of the last words that Jesus says to his disciples. So what he's basically saying to them, I'm counting on you to fulfill my mission. I'm counting on you, he said. What I'm amazed by is the disciples, in their day, they completed that mission. They went to Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to the outer parts of the world. Now that mission has been passed to us in our generation, like a baton passed to us, that mission. So now, just as Jesus was counting on the disciples in their day, he's counting on us in our generation. Which reminds me of a story I heard about a meeting that happened in heaven. It's a story, okay? It's a fable. And the story is this. Gabriel goes up to Jesus. Jesus has already completed the plan of salvation. He's sitting at the right hand of the Father now in heaven. And Gabriel comes up to Jesus and says, Lord, the angels and I, we've been talking. And we're wondering, now that you completed the plan of salvation, you're no longer on the earth, you're up in heaven, you have a plan to carry out the mission on the earth, don't you? He said, I sure do. And Gabe says, well, what's the mission? He said, the mission is my plan is I'm counting on the disciples to carry out the mission. Gabriel couldn't believe it. He looked at Jesus and said, wait a minute, you got to be kidding, right, Lord? Listen, we know you know those disciples, but we know those disciples too. And they're not very brave, they're not very educated, and they haven't always been faithful. So if they fail, you got a plan B, right? And Jesus looked at Gabriel and said, no, there's no plan B, Gabe. No, they're all I got. I'm counting on them. They're all I got. I'm counting on them. A sobering reminder that Jesus Christ is counting on us. He's counting on you. And in some cases, you're all he's got. And just as he was counting on the disciples in that generation, he's counting on us to fulfill the mission in our generation. We have the privilege and the honor and the responsibility to make disciples that make disciples, to communicate and demonstrate the gospel in our generation. That's our mission. It's clear that what Jesus told us to go do, and it all comes back to, are we willing to do that? So as we learn that this is what Jesus told us to do and where we're to go to do that, we're to go to our communities, we're to go to our city, our country, and the world to do that. And we understand we have that privilege. At Urban Impact, for the past 29 years, that's what we've been trying to do right here on the north side, right alongside of Allegheny Center Alliance Church. And we've been doing that, and this being the Urban Impact Weekend, where we celebrate the relationship that we have together in the gospel, let me tell you how we're doing that, and let me tell you about the impact that we're making. First, how is Urban Impact doing that in this community with all of you? How are we doing that together? Well, Urban Impact, if you will, is following what many theologians call the incarnational model of evangelism. In other words, we're following the model of Jesus Christ, who the model is incarnational model of evangelism. Now, what does that mean? The incarnational model is the way that God chose to draw near to mankind because man had sinned. God so loved us that he became one of us. He did this to build relationships with those who were lost, so he could communicate and demonstrate the gospel to all of mankind. There's not one better illustration in the scriptures than what's found in John chapter 1, verse 14. Let me read that for us. The word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. Let me break that down for us. I'm going to break it down in three phrases, okay? First, the word became flesh. Second, dwelling among us. And third, full of grace and truth. Let's look first of all at the word became flesh. In John chapter 1, verse 1, it's referring to the word, and the word is referring to Jesus Christ. Let me read that for us. John chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. Verse 2, and notice the personal pronouns. Verse 2, he was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him, nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was like the light of mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. It's clear in that scripture that when the scripture is talking about the word, it's referring to Jesus Christ. And the Bible teaches us that God is three persons in one. You have God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. What this passage is teaching us is the second person of the Godhead. He came to the earth and took on flesh. He became a human being. He became one of us. And he did this so that he could communicate and demonstrate the gospel to all of mankind. He was fully God and he was fully man. And the theologians call this tremendous miracle the incarnation. So Jesus wasn't just a good man. He was the one and only God-man. You have to remember that in this moment in history, no one had ever seen God up close and personal until this moment, until Jesus took on flesh. And in that moment, he became the visual and verbal expression of the invisible God. He became the visual and verbal expression of the invisible God. Jesus came to communicate and demonstrate to the world who God is and what he's like. He came to show and tell. That's what he did. You remember when you were in elementary school when you used to do show and tell? Well, that's what Jesus did. In John chapter 10, verse 30, it says, I and the Father are one. In John 14, 9, Jesus said, anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. What is Jesus saying? He's saying, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father, for I and the Father are one. He came to show and tell. Jesus came to present the truth of who God is and what he's like. He came to present the truth. Second, we have dwelling among us. Here we find that Jesus came not only to present, but he came to set up his presence, to set up his presence. The word dwelling literally means pitching a tent, pitching a tent. What does that have to do with Jesus? Well, in the Old Testament, when the Israelites would decide where they wanted to live, they would pitch a tent, which is called the tabernacle, where they would worship the Lord. And at times in the Old Testament, it would say that God would descend upon that tent in a cloud. And at night, he would come in a pillar of fire. And whenever the people saw the cloud or the fire, they would know that God was present. He was with them. What this scripture is teaching us is this, that Jesus made his dwelling among us. In other words, it's teaching us that God is no longer coming in a cloud or a pillar of fire. He's come in the person of Jesus Christ. And that's why they called Jesus Emmanuel, God with us. He came to set up his presence. What this verse teaches us is that how Jesus did ministry. He did ministry up close and personal, not from a distance. No, he loved people up close and personal. He didn't commute to the earth one day a week and then shoot back up to heaven for the next six, like most churches do. No, he became one of us, relocated, and moved into the neighborhood. That's what he did. He came to set up his presence, to build relationships with those who were lost. So he came to present the truth, then he set up his presence, and finally, he came to put into practice the truth. Look what it says in John chapter 1, verse 14. Full of grace and truth, he came to communicate and demonstrate the truth. He not only came talking about how to serve, but he showed us how to serve. He not only came talking about love, he showed us how to love. He not only came talking about forgiveness, he showed us how to forgive. He put it into practice. He took the truth, which is Jesus, and he fleshed it out for us. He didn't come in email. He didn't come Instagram. He didn't come by way of Facebook. No, he showed up himself, came up close and personal. He came to present. He came to love people up close and personal, and then put it into practice. And what we find in the scriptures is that God sent his Son, then he sent his Spirit, and now he sends us, the church. And we are to do the same. We are to go out, and we are to build relationships with people who are lost, live in such a way that they begin to ask us for the reason of our hope. And when they ask us, we're able to tell them. And if they respond, we're there to disciple them. And help. Hopefully, they'll become a disciple who makes a disciple. And at Urban Impact Foundation, all of our urban missionaries, people who are doing direct ministry, all are required to live on the north side where we serve, raise their support, live on the north side, and do the same, to live out Jesus. And when people begin to ask them for the reason of their hope, they can tell them. And if they come to know Jesus, we're right here in this community. We can follow them up, make disciples that make disciples. And we've been doing that together for 29 years. Now, the question is, how impactful have we been? That's the question. And I can't go back 29 years and tell you everything. We'd be here for a couple weeks. But I'm just going to jump back just 6 years. But let me tell you this, because I know there's always new people here. So let me jump back just for a minute in the very beginning. In 1986, I came here to Allegheny Center Alliance Church to be the outreach pastor. In other words, to help the church get outside of its walls. I also took on the youth ministry and the college ministry and some other things. My wife and I did it. We loved it. We were having a wonderful time. And I got married in 1987 with my wife, and she came and was part of the ministry, and we moved on to the north side. And when we moved into the north side, we moved down the street where 4 out of 5 homes were boarded up and unoccupied, because that was the community that surrounded the church in the 80s. And I remember walking out of my house one day after 6 years in the ministry, and my car was stolen for the third time. And I remember looking down the street and saying to the Lord, am I wasting my time? And right then when the Lord gave me this thought, how do you eat an elephant? And I responded, one bite at a time. And the Lord took my mind and helped me to see if I could impact one person, one family, one block at a time, we could transform the north side. And that's when the vision of Urban Impact was born. But we didn't start Urban Impact until 1995. It began to grow. In the year 2000, I had to make a decision. And the decision was either go full-time here at Allegheny or go full-time at Urban Impact. After much prayer, having conversation with Pastor Rock and the leadership of the church, we all decided that I need to step out, Tammy and I, raise our support, run Urban Impact, and we could be the extension of the church in this community. So we did that. I stepped out full-time, and we've been doing that now for 29 years together, right here in the north side. Praise the Lord. But let me show you some maps to help you. I showed those to you last year, but let me show you again. In 1986, here you got Allegheny Center, and then you got Ed and Tammy's house. And you see that map that's there? You see that drawing? That drawing is the north side. And I remind you that back in the 1800s, the north side was called Allegheny City. Land-wise, it's as big as Erie, Pennsylvania. Population's about the size of Butler. So we understood there's 18 neighborhoods there. And we knew that we were going to reach a little city. And we've been reaching that little city ever since together. So that was back in 86. When Tammy and I stepped out in 2000, I had no idea that there would be people who would want to do what I'm doing. Go out and raise the support, live on the north side, and flesh out the gospel on the north side of Pittsburgh. But now let me jump forward and show you this. Now we have 48 missionaries living on the north side, raising their support, living in the community, and we're impacting 15 of the 18 neighborhoods that are on the north side. These are people who are raising their support, living here in this community to flesh out the gospel. You see the yellow homes? All the white homes represent the homes that they own or rent. The yellow homes are homes that we had to buy and renovate. Why did we have to do that? Back about 6 years ago, money started coming in from out of state, coming in from New York, L.A., Chicago, buying up all kinds of property on the north side. And all of a sudden, housing and rent began to skyrocket, and our people couldn't afford to live on the north side. So Urban Impact stepped out in faith, bought some homes, renovated those homes, so we could keep our people on the north side so they could flesh out the gospel. Right now, we're in the process of buying 4 more homes, because we need more homes for the missionaries to be able to do this. And we're renovating those homes. We're going to buy those and renovate. If you have a desire to be part of that, if you're gifted with your hands, you have resources to help us, come talk to us about that. We'd love to get you involved in that. But now let me show you another map. The other map is this, that after years, we built a lot of relationships with people on the north side. And we began to do 60 different programs. We run 60 programs on the north side year-round. We run those in sports, education, arts, and options. Options, helping kids transition out of high school into life, helping them to go to college, a trade school, get a job, go in the military, the ministry. And now we're ministering to 2,300 children and youth on the north side. We serve 33,000 meals to kids on the north side. Let me say something about that. Years ago, Tammy and I began to take kids into our house because they had difficulties, and we'd take them in. Matter of fact, we had 35 kids live with us over the years in 3 months, 6 months. And during that time, in the very beginning, the only thing that was ever stolen out of our house was food. Now, why is that? Because the kids were hungry. So why do we serve 33,000 meals to kids every year? Because people are hungry. Those children and young people that we serve are hungry. So every program we do, we feed them, and then we feed them the Word of God. And I am grateful that we get that opportunity to feed kids spiritually and physically every week throughout the year. Thank you. We do that together. What's wonderful, though, as you look at this map, you'll see that we have St. Matthew's. We bought St. Matthew's just before COVID. We want to turn that into a preschool. But right smack in the middle, you'll see a hole there in the map. And we've been trying to reach that neighborhood, but we really haven't penetrated it. And we prayed a lot about that. And then the last 12 years, we won 2 national awards. We won those awards for transforming lives in a community. And when every time we won those awards, the people would look right at me and they'd say, "Pastor Ed, don't die with what you've learned." In other words, multiply yourself. Make disciples that make disciples. Help people to understand how they can transform their communities. So we stepped out in faith, and we went and we bought those buildings from the Pittsburgh Project. We bought a school, did I show you that yet? Yep, there it is. We bought a school, and we bought a dormitory. And the Pittsburgh Project's still there on the north side, ministering right alongside with us. I'm so thankful for Rick Mason and his leadership there at the Pittsburgh Project. It's been great. But we bought the school, and we bought behind it a dormitory. We bought that dorm so we could bring people into Pittsburgh and from Pittsburgh to train them in how to make disciples that make disciples in their community. And we're doing that. We have a program called Urban Fellows. You come to us for 1 year. Take a gap year, or you come for 1 year, and we train you in what we do, what you believe, why you believe, and how we do it. And it's amazing. God has used it. We've put 60 kids through that so far, 60 people, I should say. There are some older ones there in the mix. But we also, some stayed in Pittsburgh, some have gone to other cities, and some have gone internationally. And that is growing, and it's exciting that we are now training people for ministry and that they might go back to their cities or this city and transform lives for Jesus Christ. We also have opened up the doors for churches to come and do short-term missions trips with us, one-day service projects, or weekends. And we're bringing people together now. We've got churches coming from all the way from the East Coast to the West Coast, and I want to show you something. You turn there, if you look there, that we have now 934 people that have gone through that training center in the last 2 years. We've trained 934 people to be able to make an impact for the gospel. Now, if you think about that, that's just in the last 2 years. Can you imagine what will be happening in 5 years, 10 years from now? How we can cast vision, help people understand that they can transform cities for Jesus Christ. They can transform communities for Jesus Christ. I'm really excited about that. I know you are. It's wonderful that God is using us to fulfill his mission together. But let me share this. This summer, we're going to do something together, and it's really exciting, that we're going to use this training center. These people that are coming in on missions trips, they're coming from Pittsburgh as well as other locations around the country. They're coming in for 1 week. And I want to show this to you. You see there, you see these stars and you see these bullseyes. There we're going to do service projects and we're also going to do neighborhood block parties. These block parties are like big, huge festivals. And we're going to bring families together. We're going to preach the gospel. We're going to see people come to know Jesus Christ. We experimented this past year. And it was unbelievable. We had over 500 people just come to a couple of them. Hundreds of people came to know Jesus Christ. It's amazing. And I'm excited about this. We're going to be all over the north side doing this summer. We're believing we're going to touch thousands of people's lives. And you could be part of that. You can be part of that. We're going to have people coming in from all over the country. And we're going to train them in the ministry. And then send them out. So this is something that you can do. We're doing this with men's groups, women's groups, churches, youth groups, college groups. We got colleges, Christian schools coming in. It's amazing what God is doing in our midst just in that one piece of property. So with all that being said, now the question is, how in the world can you get involved, right? You want to be involved. I get that. So if you'll please take this card. We gave this to you. It's out there. Every one of you should have got one of these right on that card. On the back side, it's going to talk to you about upcoming events. I just want to say something to the men. On June 8th, we're going to do Man Up Pittsburgh. We got Cam Hayward, Alex Highsmith, Mike Tomlin, and a bunch of other people, and Pastor Allen will be there preaching. I encourage you to come, June 8th. It's about impacting us men so that we can impact our families and the fatherless in our communities as well as in the city. I encourage you to be part of that. Praise the Lord for that, yes. But on this side, on that card, if you look at the bottom, it'll say text JOIN to 833-825-0064. If you'll take your phones right now, you go right on there and you just text JOIN. Everything I'm saying, you can connect. But also, we have tables out all over the church here today, and you can go to many, many missionaries are here. You can go talk to them about how you can get involved. But there's three ways you can get involved. First, you can pray. To pray, I'm asking you to sign up for the newsletter. It is a tremendous newsletter. It comes out 4 times a year. We'll send it to you, and you just pray through the newsletter. And we need prayer. Listen, I've been doing this a long time, and I see really, seriously, demonic activity going on in our community like I haven't seen before. We really need prayer. We need to take authority, especially for this summer. This is when really bad things begin to happen, when people are not in school. And I'm really asking you to join us, lock arms with us. Let's pray that God will keep and protect and deliver people here on the north side, as well as throughout our city and throughout the world. Would you please join us in prayer? Just sign up for the newsletter, and we can help you do that. Second, you can go. You can serve. Sports, education, arts, options, all kinds of opportunities. Don't retire, rewire, okay? Don't retire, rewire. Lots of stuff you can do and get involved in and continue to make an impact. Last but not least, you can give. I was speaking in Boston and was talking, and a gentleman heard what I was doing in the summer, stood up and said to me, came right up to me and said, "Pastor Ed, I'm going to give you a $70,000 matching grant. I heard you say today that it's going to cost you an extra $150,000 to do that for the kids, and I'm going to give you a startup." He gave us a match right there. And he said to me, "But you got to go back to Pittsburgh and get it matched." So I've got from now to the end of August to get that match. So if you would please consider praying and thinking about how you can give so that we can make an impact this summer, that would be wonderful. If you decide to do that, all you got to do is write in $70,000 match, and it'll go directly to that so that we can do this together. Amen? Isn't that exciting? God pays for what he orders, and he's paying for it, and I'm excited to be part of it. Last but not least is this, that you can give, go, and pray. But here, let me say this. God created you. He used your mom and dad to make you, but he created you. He created you for a purpose, and that purpose is to fulfill his mission. He could have saved you and took you right home to heaven, but he left you on the planet because he wants you to multiply yourself. Second, he not only created you, but he chose you. He chose you for such a time as this to be alive in this generation. And we're all together, together. We're locking arms. You're not alone. Look at all the people in this room. We're not alone. And if we decide that we're going to lock arms and really do something, God is with us. We will see miracles. We will see things, believe me, that we've never seen before. And I have that expectation. I'm anticipating what God's going to do this coming year together. I'm hoping I come back and report to you thousands of people have come to know Jesus rather than 750. Wouldn't that be wonderful? Thousands of people come into Christ. Last is this. And not only has he created you and chosen you, but he's calling you. He's calling you to make disciples. But you don't have forever to do what God called you to do. Tomorrow's promised to no one. Seize the moment that we have together. Let's lock arms. The world's not so good. It doesn't look so good. So let's not look this way. Let's look this way together. Let's believe that God can use you. God can use us. And together, we can do a lot more together than we ever could do apart. Amen? Amen? Thank you for having me. God bless you. Praise the Lord for you. Let me pray for you. Father, I want to thank you and praise you for who you are, and I would just ask, Lord, that you would bless these people, keep them, protect them. I'm so grateful for each one of them. Oh, God, we're thankful that we have the privilege and the honor to do what you called us to do together. That we're not alone. You're with us. You're with me. You're with us. We thank you for that, Jesus. Help us to be faithful. Help us to finish well. For Lord, we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you.
Thank you, brother. Well, praise God. Let's give the Lord a big hand clap for all he's doing in our midst. Amen. Amen. Yeah, he deserves all the glory. We said that earlier in the service, and it's a privilege to talk about and see ways we can practically invest as we go from this place. Hey, I don't want to miss the moment. The Lord's challenged you, inspired you, spoken to you. I want you to seal that. And so I want to open up the altars. I'll ask my prayer team to come forward now so that we can do the business here. It's been my experience that if we leave the place, the world will swallow us up fast and we'll be back into the busyness of our lives. So take this opportunity in those quieted moments that the Lord has spoken to you to see what he has and to move forward from this place. The rest of you, I want to release you with the benediction. If you'll stand, please. And now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May he make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May he lift up his countenance upon you and grant you peace. Have a great week serving the King. Amen.